Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, we read what is called the Sermon on the Mount. The preacher was Christ, the Son of God. He was the prince of all preachers. He was intelligent and effective. He lived a life that was perfectly consistent with what he taught. And when he preached, it reached to the heart of man. What was once said of Martin Luther is more properly applied to Christ. He spake as if he had been within a man. Now his pulpit was some unidentified mountain near the Sea of Galilee. His sermon was the gospel of the kingdom, the basic principles of the doctrine of Christ. Within it we find the germ of every moral and spiritual truth that he taught. It was a contrast with the law of Moses, and a contrast with the false traditions that the people were following in his day. And as the law of Moses was given on Mount Sinai, accompanied by lightning and thunder, the gentle voice of Jesus depicts some of the differences between these two systems. His hearers were his disciples or learners and followers. He spoke to them because he loved them, and their hearts were open and receptive to his teaching. The sermon begins with what are called the Beatitudes. The word blessed is found repeatedly. It appears 9 times in the text of Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Blessedness means happiness, but much more. It has a broader, deeper meaning than happiness which comes from without and depends upon what's happening, the environment, and material circumstances. Blessedness is an inward condition that reflects the right relationship with God. It is that which cannot be touched from the outside. It is not found in what a man has, but what a man is. Blessedness is not a state enjoyed by every person, but those who are in the kingdom and are of a certain quality because they follow Christ. And who are they? What kind of people are they? Well, we shall study only one of these Beatitudes, possibly the one that is quoted as frequently as any, and one of the most loved of all the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now let us first understand what is meant by the heart. The heart includes the intellect. It is with the heart that man thinks, Proverbs 23:7, and he understands. Matthew 13:11. It's with the heart that he believes, Romans 10:10. The heart includes the emotions. It is with the heart that man desires, Romans 10:1. And he loves with a heart, Matthew 22:37. And he trusts with a heart, Proverbs 3 and verse 5. The heart includes man's will. It is with the heart that man purposes, 2 Corinthians 9:7. He determines, 2 Corinthians 7:37. It's with the heart that he obeys, Romans 6 and 17. It's with the heart that he makes his intentions and motives, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Yes, the heart includes the spirit, the mind, the inner man. It is not that muscular pump in the chest cavity of the body of which Jesus is speaking. Rather, it is the real person. The purity of heart refers to the purity of the soul of man. Now that which is pure is free from pollution and all impurities. Pure gold is free from all dross. Pure water contains nothing harmful. We are not fearful of drinking pure water because it's clean. It's wholesome. The pure heart is free from evil. There is cleanliness of thought, a singleness of purpose, and a sincerity of motive. To be pure in heart, one must think on pure things. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, Paul said, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things." To be pure in heart means to love the right things. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth, Colossians 3, 1 and 2. The Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel 1 and verse 8. Now that's what it means to have a pure heart. The Jews in the time of Christ stressed ceremonial purity. Oh, they were very strict about rituals. They prided themselves in doing various actions in just a certain way. And possibly some today put great emphasis only on the outward rituals and the outward show or piety. Now certainly, the observance of that which Christ has given us to observe must be done with reverence and sincerity. And we're not saying that the rituals ordained by Christ are unimportant. But there is so much more than an outward display of alleged purity. When Christ taught, he took note of doing the right things, but doing them in the right way. But all that began with emphasis on the heart, the inner man. He condemned having just an outward purity. Listen to him as he spoke in Matthew 23. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Friend, if the heart is kept pure, then the life will be pure. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." In Matthew 12, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of a good treasure bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of an evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." And in Matthew 15, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." The blessedness that comes to the pure in heart is, they shall see God. And the key word here is see. There is a clearness of vision. Now this has no reference to the natural physical vision. After all, God is a spirit, John 4:24. But it is with reference to the heart that understands the things of God. The pure in heart has an appreciation and a gratitude for God. He properly evaluates the greatness, the importance, and the goodness of all things of God that pertain to life and godliness. Now a diseased eye, one with defects, gives an unclear and a distorted sort of a vision. You just don't see clearly. Only the clear and single eye without double vision possesses the clear view. A sinful and impure heart gives a false view of things holy. Only the pure in heart see God as he really is, as revealed in his word. And the object of the vision is God. Not only shall the pure in heart see God in heaven in all of his glory, but in a sense the pure in heart see God even now. We see God in his works. Psalm 19 and verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." Who can gaze upon the wonders of our universe and not be amazed at the glory, the power, the beauty, the magnificence of the creation, and be impressed with the Creator? We can see God in his people. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:16. Paul wrote, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me." Colossians 3 and verse 3. People are able to see Christ in the lives of those who follow after him. When we see one who is obedient to God, we see the reflection of the Son of God. When we see someone doing good, we see Christ in their lives. When we see people doing the Lord's will and following His Word and living His way, we see the guidance and the influence and the direction of God. When we see a Bible, we see the result of the miraculous inspiration of men as they were guided by the Holy Spirit to write the revelation of God to man. But the most glorious of all vision will be when the pure in heart see God in heaven. The words of the familiar hymn seem to express the idea quite adequately. It speaks of that which lies before us when we shall see God in all of His glory. Only faintly now I see Him, with a darkling veil between, but a blessed day is coming when His glory shall be seen. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by. It is noticeable that in the Beatitudes, Jesus did not say, "Blessed are the philosophers, or the intellectual giants, or the so-called scholars, or those who do many mighty works for the eyes of men, the successful according to the world's standards." No. Rather, those who are truly blessed are those whose treasure is in that which is eternal in nature. The blessed are those who are faithful and steadfast and unwavering in His truth. True success is being right with God. The true inward peace and happiness comes to those whose hearts are in tune with Jesus Christ. A pure heart is free from malice and lust, envy and pride and jealousy. The pure heart does not entertain hate and greed and ill will toward others. It's not selfish. It doesn't hold a grudge. The pure in heart seeks the very best for all others at all times. This is a heart of love. It is a heart that loves peace and truth and righteousness, a heart that loves God and Christ and the church and one's neighbors. It loves the doing of good. With this array of importance of the pure heart before us, we're now concerned with the thought, how one's heart can be made pure. And the answer is, by the blood of Christ. Acts 15:9, cleansing their hearts by faith. This is faith in Christ. Belief and trust in Christ is part of the cleansing process. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, "Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth." Faith plus obedience. Why, that's the way the heart becomes pure. That which must be obeyed are the commands of the gospel. Repentance, confession of Christ, and baptism into Christ for the remission of sins. It is then that the blood of Christ, which was shed in His death, is applied to our hearts, and we are made pure, because when we're baptized into His death where His blood was shed. Such is the teaching of Romans 6, 3 and 4. And our hearts are kept pure, so long as we walk in the light as He is in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7. His blood not only cleanses the heart at baptism, but His blood is the power that keeps us clean as we live faithfully before Him. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. That's the prayer of every Christian. And the question before those who are yet out of Christ is thy heart right with God? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.